Okay. Well, good morning, everyone. There's a few people away, which is evident. So we're going to continue to look at 1 Peter. That seems very loud, doesn't it? Maybe I should turn that down a little bit. That one. Try that. Hopefully that's a bit better. You have to excuse, I've still got a slight croaky voice. First Peter chapter 3, we're going to look at that. Verses 12. We're going to look at verses 12, but we'll start at verse 8. So 1 Peter 3, 8 to 17 is what I'm going to read. Just continuing on from last week. So, okay. Starting at verse 8, 1 Peter 3. Finally, all of you have unity of mind, sympathy, brotherly love, a tender heart and a humble mind. Do not repay evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, bless. For to this you are called, that you may obtain a blessing. For whoever desires to love life and see good days, let him keep his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Now who is there to harm you if you are zealous for what is good? But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you will be blessed. Have no fear of them, nor be troubled. But in your hearts honour Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defence to anyone who asks you for the reason for the hope that is in you. Yet do it with gentleness and respect, having a good conscience, so that when you are slandered, those who revile your good behaviour in Christ may be put to shame. For it is better to suffer for doing good, if that should be God's will, than for doing evil. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for these words. And we pray that we may hear what you have to say to us this morning. That the Spirit, your Spirit, Lord, will enable us to hear you speak. And pray that you challenge and encourage us as we go about your work as your people. And we pray this through Jesus our Saviour. Amen. Well, last week, we considered the ways that Christians had often responded to the challenges of culture. And we looked at a few different options. We looked at three options. One was withdraw from culture, put up the walls, sort of be that exclusiveness, put up all sorts of ideas that are not biblical. Second one was to conform by blending into culture, sort of domesticating Jesus, making him a lot more easier to follow for culture by making a less preachy Jesus. Or the third option was we go to war with culture. You know, we sort of go on the attack, we go on the full-on rage war against culture. And so often as Christians, like I said, we can find ourselves swaying into one of these sort of responses, especially when you feel that sort of overwhelming pressure of culture as a follower of Jesus. But rather than choose one of the above options, Jesus calls us to stand out and engage our culture as his people. We do this firstly by living as his people, which we looked at last week. You can't follow Jesus without being a changed person. The gospel changes us, transforms us. And so because of Jesus, in verses 8 to 12 in this passage of 1 Peter, it sort of reveals what this gospel-shaped community looks like, these gospel-shaped people who's you and me in Christ. This is not to say that we're perfect people. Clearly, Peter is writing to these people because they were struggling in their behaviour, especially within the church family. They were struggling to be this kind of person. And so we are called to pursue peace, like Peter calls us, calls them there, and respond by blessing each other. And as we do this, we will stand out. We will stand out as God's people, particularly just in this smaller community, but also spread out to all people. And we respond this way not simply because we're just obeying a bunch of rules. Now, there is rules in the Bible, but if we just condense the Bible down to a book of rules, we'll miss the big picture. What we saw in this passage is we do this because this is how Jesus has responded to us. Jesus treats us so much better than we deserve. It's actually something I got from the conference. It was a little statement that it got, and it was like, God's grace is that God treats us so much better than what we deserve. And I was just sort of, I'd say, if it flows so you can count, to go ding, 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 how many times I say that in a sermon today, that's fine. That God's grace is at work in us. And so Jesus shows all these beautiful attitudes and expressions that we see in these verses. He expresses them to us. And so we're called to express them to others. So Jesus is sympathetic to us. Even when we were still sinning, he was sympathetic to us. And Jesus gives us a brotherly love even when we hated him. And we said, no, Jesus, I don't want anything to do with you. Jesus has a tender heart to us even when he should be angry at us. And Jesus was humble by coming and dying on a cross so we could be saved. And so Jesus, rather than repaying evil, because look, we do a lot of stuff towards God and other people, rather than repaying evil, Jesus chooses to bless us. But of course, if we're not in Christ, then we do receive all that judgment and all that anger of God for our sin. So we are being transformed by Jesus, who his grace is at work in us and is given towards us. And so that grace flows out into our church community, it flows out into our homes, our families, our wives, husbands, kids sometimes, and flows out to bless the culture around us. Okay, so that's sort of the stage. So we don't separate, we don't go to war, we don't conform, but rather we see Jesus at work in us as we stand out. So as this is all taking place under Jesus' Lord, then our lives will stand out, and people ought to be sort of fascinated with us. Not sure how fascinated is probably the right word, but and will ask questions. So that's sort of where we're at today. Because in Jesus we are people sort of going out as missionaries for him, and our lives will stand out. So last week we looked at the first point, which was that sort of distinct community of people. And today we're going to look at the second point, that we're engaged community who bring Jesus to our culture. So let's hear sort of some of these verses again from 1 Peter 3. Starting at verse 13, going to 17. Now who is there to harm you if you are zealous for what is good? But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you will be blessed. Have no fear of them, nor be troubled, but in your hearts honour Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defence to anyone who asks you for the reason for the hope that is in you. Yet do it with gentleness and respect, having a good conscience, so that when you are slandered, those who revile your good behaviour in Christ may be put to shame. For it is better to suffer for doing good, if that should be God's will, than doing evil. So how then does this distinct, loving community engage with our culture? Well, as we're living life, as we're just going out and doing our normal, everyday things, we are blessing the culture around us. It sort of overflows, and people will ask the questions. As we don't repay people within our church and others with evil, but do good, people will ask questions. When we are zealous in doing good, our lives will sort of stand out. Our good works, though, are not enough to bring people to Jesus. I think we've got to get that really clear as Christians. Our good works is not enough to bring people to Jesus, but it's necessary if we belong to Jesus. Think about Jesus, who was zealous for good works. So zealous was his good works that Jesus died for our good so that we could have hope. But if we limit Jesus' good works in people's lives to just sort of physical things and helping out the poor and all that sort of stuff, we will fail to give people hope. It's only at the cross where we can have hope that our sins are dealt with, and so that hope we need to give to other people. So like Jesus, we are people who are zealous for good, and yet as we pursue those good works, we don't lose focus of the end goal, which is our hope in Christ. You know, you look through the Gospel of Luke, and Jesus is always focused to the cross, going to the cross. I must go to the cross. So we don't lose focus of the hope in Jesus in the cross. And the end result is Jesus' mission is giving all people hope. That Jesus treats us better than we deserve because of our sins, and so we go out to other people with that hope. So I'm trying to give a bit of an example. So as a church, we want to reach our town, don't we, for the gospel of Jesus. And so we need to take Jesus out there by sharing the gospel of grace. But not all of us are natural evangelists. Many of us would probably feel uncomfortable about going up and talking to someone about Jesus, just a random conversation, maybe even feel uncomfortable at the workplace talking to someone about Jesus. Maybe find it hard to start a conversation about those things. But we're all people sort of going out into our culture, and we do this in a way to give people hope. And so what we need is a sort of a gospel balance of everything. So as we go out as a church, we do it both through specific evangelism and just everyday evangelism as people. We're people who just go about our daily work standing out. We go out living out the gospel in our lives as we love others, as we are zealous for doing good and treating others well. And this means that everyone in Christ is involved. So we're all sort of missionaries. We're all going out there. And we're standing out in such a way that people ask the question, why? Why are you like this? What do you love like this? Why do you even go to church? Why do you read your Bible? Why are you into that sort of stuff? People will ask the why. Why are you such a good person? And we have an opportunity to point them to Jesus. So we're going to make it clear that if we just do good things as Christians, if we just live the good life, and if we are zealous for good, people may miss the point if we don't talk about Jesus in some way, or at least give an answer to why. If we say we do it because we're such good people, that's sort of what our culture thinks about church. That's what our culture thinks about Christianity. They think, I don't need to go to church. I don't need to follow Jesus because I'm a good person already. And so what we do, if we do just the good works only without proclaiming Christ in some way, we reduce Christianity to simply good works only. And people will never read into our lives enough to be able to get the gospel. But so what we want to do is have a way of life that actually speaks to our culture, and it gives us an opportunity to speak to them as they question and challenge why we are like we are. Now, doing this can often make us soft targets as Christians. So I don't like often being a soft target. I don't often like being sort of felt a bit odd. But it can happen. It can make us feel a bit like, well, do we just withdraw from people, go back to those sort of options again? But what Christ wants us to have is confidence and comfort in what he's got to say. So verses 13 to 16 says this: "But now who is there to harm you if you are zealous for what is good? But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you'll be blessed. Have no fear of them, nor be troubled. But in your heart, honour Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defence to anyone who would ask for the reason for the hope that is in you. Yet do it with gentleness and respect, having a good conscience, so that when you are slandered, those who revile your good behaviour in Christ may be put to shame." I'll read verse 17. "For it is better to suffer for doing good, if that should be God's will, than for doing evil." Peter tells us that have no fear of those who would harm us. You know, they can harm our bodies. I don't think they're probably being persecuted in that way in this particular church. Other churches at the time were being persecuted physically, but I think probably these people were a bit more being slandered, being mocked, but Peter's probably building into them a bit of an awareness that actually more persecution may come, probably seen it from other churches, but we're told not to fear them, not be troubled. That's probably our hearts, isn't it? We get troubled by all these things. The Holman reads, "Don't fear what they fear." It's an interesting way of putting it. You know, culture fears being looked at differently. Culture fears the harm of rejection. People want to conform. You often wear certain clothes because you want to conform to culture. You don't want to feel rejected on the outer. If you want to rebel from culture and try a different pattern of fashion and look unique and create your own identity, most of the time you're still following someone, so you're not really doing anything special. But as followers of Jesus, we don't want to fear being labelled Christians, follower of Jesus. We don't want to be feared labelled someone who actually reads the Bible and takes Jesus' words seriously. We stand out for Jesus, and people will see the difference, and they'll see it in a good way. And even if they do happen to slander us, they'll still see the goodness of what they're. They'll actually be put to shame for condemning people who are good. Those around them, it'll be a witness to those around them as well who aren't condemning us. So in many ways we live for something greater than our culture and people that'll stand out. Is his distinct people. So that means that we don't become aggressive or passive or silent, but we engage our culture with Jesus. We engage it with gentleness. We engage our culture with gentleness, but also intelligent thought, reasons why we believe. We speak in ways that our culture can understand Jesus. We don't use great theological terms. That's a bit of a waste of time if they can't understand them. That's speaking in a different language. So we've got to speak in a way that they can understand, pointing them to Jesus. And in fact, we actually sort of think about the rebels. When we do this, we become a bit of the rebels. We become the rebels in our culture. And so what happens when they're sort of fighting against us sometimes, slandering? It's so easy for us to want to just fight back, but we've got to be sort of withdraw from that temptation to fight fire with fire. Jesus calls us to do something greater, to love them, just as Christ has loved us, even before we knew him, even before we responded to him. Just as Jesus loved those that crucified him on the cross, think about that statement he said, "Forgive them, for they don't know what they are doing." You know, it's very, very hard when people are attacking you for being a Christian to not take it personally. It's very hard, but I think sometimes we've got to see this sort of big picture of people are attacking this idea of Christianity because they don't want it to invade their life, and so we've got to sort of not try and take it personally, even though sometimes it feels like it is. We don't fight back in a way that's like them, but we love and bless them, and we give them answers. And that's hard work. That's hard work when people are ridiculing you or doing things that make you feel stupid. So it takes supernatural work in us to do that. And praise the Lord that he's given us his Spirit, that it's at work in us. Because it's not natural to love that way, is it? It's not natural to love that way when people are on the go against you. But as we do, our lives stand out as we respond in loving them. Rather than fear culture or fear others, we honour Jesus as Lord. We place Jesus above culture and above other people's opinions. It's a life that's continually living with our mindsets that Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. In your hearts, honour Christ the Lord as holy. Always being prepared to make a defence for the reason, for the hope you have that is in you. And yet do it with gentleness and respect, having a good conscience. You know, this kind of living causes people to ask the why. Why do you follow? Questions like, why don't you like everyone else? Like I said, why do you read your Bible? Why do you go to church? And so we are called to give an answer. Be ready. It's to give a defence. The word apologetic sort of comes from this word. But it's to give a reason. We answer the why question. Why do we follow Jesus? I wonder if that's the question you could think about today. Why do you follow Jesus? Why do you follow Jesus? Is it because the Bible tells you so? Is it just limited to just that? Or is it something greater? Notice our response is gentleness. We're not going to war, but rather we're giving people hope. We speak the truth of Jesus with love and gentleness and with respect. Now, I think there's probably some different opinions on this idea of respect, but I think what I understand the respect there is more about Jesus than the other person. Now, certainly, if we're speaking with gentleness, we are respecting the other person in some ways, but I think the respect is more about Jesus and honouring him as Lord rather than those we're engaged with. So as we're engaged with someone, we're respecting Jesus. We're saying, how am I honouring Jesus in this conversation? How am I respecting Jesus and what Jesus has to say in this conversation? So it's more than just showing respect to others, but it's actually honouring Jesus as Lord and showing respect to him. And so when people come to our church, or if they come to our house, they ought to be saying, I've never seen stuff like this before. I've never seen people like this before. When people encounter you at school or sport or work, they say, I've never seen anyone like this. There's goodness, love, generous, and it's all flowing out of you, and it's all because it's flowing out of Jesus to you, and it sort of infects us with his grace. Could you imagine someone surprised then if you invited them to church and they met, say it's a little bit smaller, but still effective, met a bunch of people who are all the same. You know how great that would be? All the same. All people that are loving, all people that are standing out. And so we're called, like I said, to give an account of why we believe, why we live with hope. If you've been following Jesus for some time and you can't tell people of the hope, then maybe you don't actually know the hope of Jesus. Maybe you need to be a bit refreshed in this and get into God's word and sort of see how you really do have hope in Christ through his death and resurrection. Colossians is a great passage, book to read. It sort of talks about those things. Maybe you've just never sat down and thought about it, articulated it, sat down and thought about what you would say if someone asked the question. Or maybe you could do that this week. As much as possible, we are to fit into culture, engage people, but we do this without losing Jesus, without honouring him as Lord. So don't be afraid to speak, but let it be rooted in love and generousness, not fighting back, but speaking the truth in love. Well, Peter is encouraging us and the early believers that we are on display for Jesus, and that we are proof that the gospel is real, and that Jesus really does matter and Jesus makes a difference. You and me are here today, here on earth, alive, because we have an important purpose for God and an important mission for God, to display the gospel in our lives. That means our lives are not about ourselves, about what we want, about all these things. It's about us being on display, standing out on mission for Jesus, just as we live our daily lives. But I think our struggle is often putting Jesus first. Our struggle is honouring Jesus as Lord. Our struggle is that we often put culture and its voice first and Jesus' voice second. I think we need to get this around the right way, and that takes work. Maybe we need to confess now that our life is often not putting Jesus first, and ask the Holy Spirit to help us with this, because it can be a struggle. Sometimes it can be a struggle. Sometimes it worked for me to talk about Jesus. You can feel that weight of culture coming upon you that you know, this is not the norm. But rather, in that moment, we need to think, what does Jesus want us to be as the Lord of our life? And there are times when you need to think about what you're going to say and maybe not give too much of a big answer. But we need to think of Jesus as Lord. Jesus is the number one reason we live as a church. And that's why Peter tells us to always be prepared to give an answer. Because if we live this way, people will ask the why. And the answer needs to point people to Jesus rather than good works. Because there's plenty of good works happening in our culture. There's plenty of good things happening in our culture by people. But only Jesus is the one that gives hope. Now, good works is not enough. Only Jesus is our hope. So an answer may be, you know, I've been treated with amazing love and grace through Christ, and they may not even understand grace, so we may need to think of a different word there. And because of the way Jesus loves me, I'm able to love you. I'm able to, and because of this, I have hope. I have hope that rather than getting what I deserve from God, God treats me so much better than what I deserve. Maybe that's an answer. Pray that God will help you with opportunities to speak the answers or provoke people to ask the questions. Pray that God will open the doors for you to share your faith wisely and appropriately. Pray for people you know. I've been having a little list on my phone and in my coffee breaks and lunch breaks. I've been praying a list. Pray for one person at Seed. Pray for one person who doesn't know Jesus outside of Seed. Just thinking of ways to pray, because you need God's help in this. We need God's help to stand out. So Jesus calls us not to withdraw, to exclude, not to go on the fight, not to conform or accommodate, not to fight back and hurl insults. But Jesus called us, his people, his church, to go with love and engage our culture. To go with the zeal for what is good, whilst knowing the end goal is to reveal the hope that we have in Jesus. So as your life stands out because of Jesus, don't lose focus of the reason why we have hope in Jesus. And so always be pointing people to Jesus, to his goodness, his grace, seen through the cross. Look, we need God's help to do this, don't we? So let's pray that he can do that. Father God, thank you that we're your children, and it has been by amazing grace that you have transformed us from sinners to saints in you. And thank you for that amazing grace that you have shown, that you don't treat us as we deserve, but you treat us so much better. So much loving grace that you have towards us. Lord, help us this week as we just go about our daily lives to do good, to be zealous for good, to think about the hope that we have, so when people do ask, we have an answer. Lord, let us be a bit courageous and start conversations. We pray for that, Lord. Lord, give us the boldness, but also the gentleness. Lord, thank you that you've left us here not to have a cruisy retirement, not to get everything we want to do in our life ticked off. But Lord, you left us here so we can show the very gospel that has infected us to others. So Lord, help us to do that, we pray. Through Jesus Christ, our Saviour. Amen. Okay, now we've got the little kids talk, haven't we? So that'll... Kids video, just...